This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, September 4th, 2016. The 15th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Who has learned thy counsel unless thou hast given wisdom? May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Last week, we talked at length about the fear of the Lord, the necessity of fearing the Lord. Not just respecting him, not just taking him in consideration, in all the awe that he is, but fearing him. It's an important thing, as I emphasized last week, to fear the Lord, because that's an integral part of the formula of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We talked about fear of the Lord last week. Let's talk about wisdom this week. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We hear that several times throughout Scripture, constantly emphasized by the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we have to understand about wisdom is it's not something that is innate within us. It's not something that we are born with. We are given wisdom. In the Book of Wisdom, which the first reading came today, we have to understand that wisdom throughout that book is It goes back and forth with the synonym, the Holy Spirit. Wisdom and the Holy Spirit, they go hand in hand. We receive the Holy Spirit as a gift by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost through our baptism into the Catholic Church, and then ultimately it is confirmed by the sacrament of confirmation. It is something that is not innate. It's something that we have to receive. But then after we receive it, it's something that we do have to nurture, this wisdom. I always point out, and usually it's ancillary, it's usually on the side, it's a little side note, little footnote. I always point out that there's a tremendous difference, and it is not a synonym, knowledge and wisdom. Tremendous difference between knowledge and wisdom. That does not mean one is good and one is bad. Knowledge is a good thing, as long as we have wisdom. As a matter of fact, knowledge is an aspect of wisdom. The Oxford Dictionary, not some theological treatise, defines wisdom as the quality. Wisdom is a quality. It's the quality of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So if wisdom, as far as the Scriptures go, is synonymous with the Holy Spirit, is synonymous with God, then for us, wisdom is, and not just for us, the Scripture tells that wisdom is for, wisdom is a quality of experiencing God, of knowledge of God, and good judgment, judging things that we do through God, at the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We understand that that's something that we receive. This isn't a doubter. This is actually should make you as Catholics appreciate, because you have wisdom. Most of us sitting in here are baptized and confirmed, or about some several of us are about to be confirmed at the hands of the bishop coming up. What are we without this wisdom? What are we if we just rely on ourselves, if we rely on our own nature before we receive the gift of wisdom from our Lord? We don't have to guess. It tells us in that first reading today three different things explicitly. The first, the reasoning of mortals is worthless. The reasoning of mortals is worthless. Inasmuch as when you consider reasoning with the accompaniment of God in the Holy Spirit. An example, and I'll name names as I am wont to do, a name, as I am wont to do occasionally. When something just bears attention. There was an Episcopal bishop, purportedly. His name is John Shelby Spong. I don't even know if he's still alive. I hope he repented if he's not. John Shelby Spong had a tremendous amount of knowledge about things religious. He wrote a tremendous amount of books about things religious, a tremendous amount of work on our Lord Jesus Christ himself. In those books, if you see a book with his name on it, flee. Don't even open it. Just take this for granted. I actually saw him interviewed one time by a Christian. This will put everything in a nutshell. He was interviewed by a Christian, and this Christian looked at him and said, "I've read some of the stuff in your books about Jesus. You deny his virgin birth. You deny that he ever performed a miracle. You deny his bodily resurrection. You have made your living off of a purported church, and you get money from your books about Jesus, and you deny everything that the faith teaches about Jesus, the primary tenets of the faith." And you would think that a person like that would squirm and go, "Oh, no, I didn't mean that. I didn't." He sat there with a sheepish grin on his face and nodded his head. He admitted it. He writes books about Jesus that deny everything that the church teaches about Jesus. Everything. And he was good with that. That's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. He's probably got more knowledge about things, ancient history and languages, than I will ever have. But he was stupid. Wrote a bunch of books, and he was stupid. Okay? That's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. It was shared with me after the 8 o'clock this morning by a profound theologian, no names, Jason McCrimmon. He goes, "I got an illustration for knowledge and wisdom." And I was waiting for something tremendously profound. It wasn't tremendously profound, but it's really true. Yeah, knowledge. The tomato is a fruit. Yeah? Wisdom doesn't belong in a fruit salad. So, whichever one of those two things you want to use, credit where credit is due. Reasoning of mortals is worthless. Another thing is, the perishable body weighs down the soul. This is not dualism. Body's bad, spirit's good. Nothing like that. What it is the fact that the perishable body weighs down the soul. The cares of this life sidetrack us if we don't have the Holy Spirit within us. We can't help it. This world is sin-cursed and fallen. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit watching out for us, we are contaminated by that stuff. I use John Shelby Spong as a bad example. I'll use myself as a bad example on this one. Back in the day, I had a tremendously cool job. Everybody thought it was tremendously cool. You know, they make movies about what I did. It's cool. You know, that's awesome. You know, I had everything going on. It paid well. It was fun. It was exciting. My life was okay, as far as I thought then. Everything was just great. And then the Holy Spirit came into my life, and I understood, not that what I was doing was wrong, but that my basic outlook not only was ruinous to my own life, but I also ruined other people's lives. You know, and the world's telling me, "Yeah, you made that decision. That's right. That's fine. That's good. Excellent. I'm glad you made that decision. Now you're happy." And I'm wrecking people's lives. I'm wrecking my own life. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can think, everything can look outwardly that it's great. And guess what? It's not. It's not at all. As a matter of fact, it can be horrible. And you don't even know it. Cares of this life sidetrack us. That's in the gospel today. Our Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm sure there are going to be a whole lot of homilies today about that gospel reading. And so, see, you give up your stuff and give it to the poor people and everything, then Jesus is going to like you. Our Lord is saying something much more profound there. As a matter of fact, the very last line of the gospel is, "Whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." And he's not talking about material. He's all that you have. Those are your presuppositions. Those are the things that you hold dear in this, that if they're not embraced through the judgment of the Holy Spirit, they can be problems. That's what Jesus is talking about. The cares of this life sidetracking us. Because anything that keeps us sidetracked from our devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ is an idol. That can be your own family. And that, as a matter of fact, that's what I deal with most often. People make their family members, their kids, idols. They distract them from their worship of the Lord, from their obligations to attend Mass. All these problematic. It looks fine on its face, but it's evil if you don't look at it through the lens of the Holy Spirit. The third one is we can hardly guess what is on earth. And what is at hand, we find with labor. I've been emphasizing that knowledge is not bad. And thank God for astronomers and scientists and biologists and physicists and all those other ists that do really cool things for us and why we have a lot of nifty things. But there's always a limit. If you just stick with human knowledge, there's always a limit. These guys can only discuss things so far. They can only take things so far. You know, they can tell all about the parts of an atom and what makes up an atom and all this nifty stuff. But they can't tell you, for instance, why it sticks together. You know, there's a bunch of theories up, but nobody really knows why the stuff sticks together. And now, simple man that I am, I can sit back and look at this guy who knows a boatload more about atoms than I do, and I go, I know why they stick together, because God wants them to. Yeah, that sounds tremendously simplistic, but guess what? That's fine. Because the Psalms tell us that the law of the Lord makes wise the simple. There are a lot of people, John Shelby Spong, who are very, very smart and have a lot of knowledge and are stupid. There are a lot of other folks who are very limited in their knowledge as far as book smarts go. And they're the wisest people to whom you will ever speak. Why? Because they know Jesus Christ. That's why. Because something has been given them that was not innate. Because the Holy Spirit opened their eyes to truth. And they can teach you a tremendous amount. Because they have wisdom. That's why we talk about what without wisdom, with wisdom. For one thing, I talked about the corruption of the world. This is simply stated. If you have the Holy Spirit, you are protected from the contagion of the world. It doesn't contaminate you. You know better. Things that are in this world don't appeal to you. Things that you used to like to do, the way you used to talk, things that you used to think were funny, things you used to watch. No big deal. That's just funny. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, and it's slow, doesn't happen overnight for most of us, but you look back on you. Yeah, that was really bad, this stuff I used to do. Why do you know that now? Because now you don't just know things, you are wise concerning these things. So we're protected by the Holy Spirit from the contagion of this world. There's another thing we have to understand about is when we allow the Holy Spirit to govern, then things are right. That starts with ourselves. You know, I use myself as an example. I did not have the Holy Spirit governing my life. I governed it, and I wrecked it, and again, other people's, okay? We can't run if without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If I know a lot of nice people, what you see maybe, on its face maybe, that without the Holy Spirit, we can't govern ourselves correctly, not in the best way. We can't govern our society without the Holy Spirit. When I say that, I am not, you know, everybody knows, you come here more than a couple of weeks, you know where I stand on the whole political thing. I don't go there. I don't care. Well, you should care. Well, sorry, I don't. You know, if you don't like that, all right, whatever. You know, I got my eyes set on something that's much more permanent than the next 4 or 8 years around here. But I will use things as an example. Without the Holy Spirit, society goes very bad. You know, I hear a lot of people that talk about politics complain about the choices this time. This applies to both of them. You got two choices. One tells you, and this is bottom line, I know it gets more complicated than this, but bottom line, one tells you, hey, vote for me and I'll give you stuff. And you got another one who says, hey, vote for me and I'll make it so you can get stuff yourself. So basically, both of them, it's about getting stuff. One says, I'll give it to you. Another one says, I'll make it so you can get it yourself. All right? But it's about stuff. That has not historically been the case. You know, let's just use this country. And, like, please don't go there with the founding fathers being all Christian and pious. Most of them were deists, and they paid lip service to the faith because at least society believed in God. All right? society believed in God, and they knew they had to at least make it look like they believed in God, or they're not going to get, you know, they're going to get run out on a rail. All right. But even back in the day, no matter what side of the political fence you sat on, the guys were smart. Everybody who was involved in politics was smart. I mean, they knew a lot about a lot of different things. All right. And generally speaking, from at least a worldly perspective, they were good folks. All right. Might not have been guided by the Holy Spirit. Some of them were, a lot of them were, I'm sure, but other, at least they played like they were, because they wouldn't get votes. What are we dealing with now? One of them, hey, I want to make it easier for you to shred babies. How far we have fallen. I mean, someone like that, just 50 years ago, we wouldn't be allowed to teach school in a one-room schoolhouse in some backwater place somewhere out in the middle of the country. And all of a sudden, they're running for president. Ridiculous. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit's not involved in stuff. The church can't be governed without the Holy Spirit. Well, the church has got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the church does. And praise God that the Holy Spirit will not allow the gates of hell to prevail against it. There's a whole lot of folks in the church, and a lot of them are wearing purple and red hats, that you can tell they're not guided by the Holy Spirit. You can't serve a church that for 2,000 years has said, this is wrong. It separates you from the grace of Jesus Christ. You will not go to heaven unless you repent and say, oh, you know, let's just show them, you know, just deal with them where they are. Real good way to send somebody to hell. That's what happens when individuals aren't guided by the Holy Spirit. And then the church, look at it today. If the Holy Spirit's around, everything's in unity and everything is more or less in order. I always point out, 60 years ago, everybody walking the face of this planet, whether you were Catholic or whether you were not, knew where the Catholic Church stood on theological and moral issues. Now Catholics don't know. You know, that's why you have all this discord, all this bantering back and forth. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is order. I mean, that's the way it's been since creation. You got a problem with that. Pray for folks that they may be guided by the Holy Spirit. This is not an abstraction. This is not philosophy. We don't serve a philosophy. We don't serve a theological system. We serve the God-man, Jesus Christ. When we think about God being wisdom, when we look at our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to understand that what he says about this Holy Spirit that is synonymous with wisdom, that when the Spirit of truth comes, that he will guide you into all truth. And what does the Holy Spirit? He says he won't speak of his own authority. He will speak what it is given. And he speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is wisdom. Our Lord Jesus Christ is wisdom, because God the Father is wisdom. The Blessed Trinity is the manifestation of wisdom. That shows that difference. People who have knowledge out there, you start talking about the Trinity, you lose them. That doesn't make any sense. Not to you, worldling, but it makes a whole lot of sense for those of us who just bottom line, it's true because God says it. That's the way he has presented himself as a Trinity. And when we look at the Trinity, that is wisdom. Wisdom was made flesh and dwelt among us. God just doesn't want you to hear and learn abstraction. He wants you to see it by example, and that is the God-man, Jesus Christ. He is wisdom personified. And I just went through this big list of how we're so corrupt when we don't have the Holy Spirit. We know explicitly from the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15, St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says that he has made the corruptible incorruptible. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He has made us wise. But as I said before, it's not a matter of, oh, I got wisdom now, I just leave it at that. No, you have to nurture that through the means of grace, through the sacraments, through his word, through prayer. That makes you more and more wise. I pray God that you're more wise today than you were 3 years ago. And I pray God that if the Lord blesses you, that 3 years from now, you will be more wise, much more wise than you are today. Christ has made it that way for us. He has made the corruptible incorruptible. And it's about the Trinity. It's about our embracing God as he has presented himself to us. It is that experiencing the Trinity It is the knowledge of the Trinity. It is about good judgment guided through the direction of the Trinity. Well, you know, the Trinity, that's like a new... Yeah, the word Trinity isn't found in the Bible, but it is in the Bible from cover to cover. In that Old Testament reading, you have the Trinitarian formula in the last verse that is read. See if you can catch this. Who has learned thy counsel, unless thou hast given wisdom, and sent thy Holy Spirit from on high. Three different things there. Who are we talking about? Who is the writer talking to? God. God the Father. Who has learned thy wisdom, Father, unless thou hast given wisdom, the Son, wisdom made flesh, dwelling among us, and sent thy Holy Spirit. All three of them in one sentence in the Old Testament. Because that is wisdom. Not something we're born with, but something we embrace and something that we should live. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.